This episode is brought to you by IVP. Use promo code IVPWHP, that's IVPWHP, at ivpress.com to get 40% off and free U.S. shipping on any IVP resources mentioned in this episode.
Letting go is hard, but what if surrender is the key to experiencing joy and freedom? In her book, The Freedom of Surrender, author Mary DeMuth invites you on a 40-day journey where you'll learn how to give God your inner struggles, your family, your expectations, your regrets, your ministry, your grief, and much more. Experience freedom as you invite Jesus to help you surrender all. And as a listener of this podcast, you can receive a special discount on this book. Check the show notes for more details.
This is IVP. Welcome to the Wholehearted Household Podcast. I'm your host, Helen Lee. In every episode, we spotlight a book of the Bible, share a discipleship nugget for you and your family, and end with a spiritual practice to draw closer to God. So my sons are in their late teens and early 20s, but when I look at each one of them today, I can almost immediately flash back to see their little infant selves, their toddler days, their elementary school years, and so on. And who they were in each of those stages is both similar but yet so, so different than who they each are today. How many people have you been in your lifetime? Can you remember the person you were when you were young, like 6 years old, or 16, or 25, or 40, and all the things you hoped for, or feared, or cared about in each of those stages? Well, in 1 and 2 Samuel, we see many Davids, the shepherd, the warrior, the fugitive, and finally, the king. But you know, despite all those changes he went through in his identity and his circumstances, one thing never changed for him, and that was God's presence in his life, in both the greatest victories and the lowest failures of his lifetime. David's intimacy with God remained a steadfast source of hope. In today's episode, we'll discover the ways that God can meet us wherever and whoever we are. So let's invite him now to be with us during this time together. Dear God, may you open our ears, our minds, our souls, and our whole hearts to receive whatever you may have for us and our families today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's Bible Spotlight focuses on 1 and 2 Samuel and is adapted from Savoring Scripture by Andrew Abernethy. 1 and 2 Samuel follows the period of judges and describes God's response to the Israelites' request for a king. First, Saul comes to power, eventually followed by King David. David is a complicated figure. In 1 and 2 Samuel, we learn of David's journey from being a young shepherd to a powerful king. In these stories, he's described as both a servant and a sinner, faithful and flawed. He fails to obey the instructions of Sinai, yet he turns to God for forgiveness. Often described as a man after God's own heart, David, though not always perfectly, ultimately seeks to honor, love, and serve God. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, David voices his desire to build God a temple. God declines David's offer, yet he offers an idea of his own. God will build David a house and a dynasty. God will relate to David's dynasty as a father relates to a son. God promises that a king from David's line will rule from his throne forever. Davidic kingship emerges as the channel through which Israel and the world will experience God's blessing. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11 through 14, the prophet Nathan relays this message from the Lord to David. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. Under his rule in Zion, God will provide a place for his people Israel amidst the rule of Davidic kings. The promise of Abraham regarding land will find fulfillment under the rule of the Davidic king from Zion. The general promises, then, about Abraham's offspring and land come to fulfillment in the line of the Davidic king and Zion. But the Sinai covenant also remains in effect. The Davidic king would need to obey God's instructions if Israel is to experience God's blessing. David now takes a central place in God's plans to restore his ideal for creation that is unraveling due to sin. With a Davidic king leading the way in obeying God's instructions, God's blessing would flow to Israel in the land and all the nations across the earth. Unfortunately, we see in 1 Samuel that David fails to obey the instructions of Sinai. He sins many times. After David, over half of Judah's 19 kings do evil in the eyes of the Lord. The kings in David's line continue to fall short in keeping complete obedience to the law. Yet, God remains faithful to his covenant. So, 1 and 2 Samuel set the scene for the need of a better, perfect king, in Jesus. Jesus is not only from David's line, but he also fulfills the expectation of complete obedience to the law, something no king before him had accomplished. When we look at David's covenant with the law, we can learn to be more attentive to how Davidic kingship plays a central role in God's plan to recover his creation ideals through Israel.
Now it's time for this week's discipleship nugget. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, we see the prophet Samuel anoint David with oil and establish him as the next king over all Israel. Just like Samuel blessed and sent David into the work that God had for him, we can make a practice of blessing, sending, and even anointing in our own families. In his book, The Spiritually Vibrant Home, Don Everts compares the fostering of our family's spiritual lives to building a fire, and says that incorporating quick prayers of blessing is like adding a log to that fire. An easy way to incorporate blessing and sending into your family life is to pray a quick prayer of blessing for your kids anytime they're going out the door. A great place to start is something as brief as, "May God bless you and give you what you need for your big day today." And if you want to personalize these prayers, simply start with the words, "May God," and then finish the sentence with whatever you hope for that person on that day. And don't forget to bless the adults too. Modeling is a powerful tool, and seeing adults bless one another, in addition to receiving blessings themselves, is a great discipleship opportunity for kids of any age. Anointing is another way that we can add logs to the fire of our family's spiritual life. If there's a big transition or event that's coming up in the life of one of your kids or family members, consider anointing them for that task. If you're part of a church that already uses holy oil or water, you could ask a pastor or priest to bless them during or after a church service. And if not, you can also do this at home, with or without oil. If you'd like to use oil, you can mix a drop or two of essential oil into a more neutral oil. The one used throughout the Bible is, of course, olive oil. And then, before that first day at a new school, or before the big game, or the night before an exam they've been studying for, pray a prayer of blessing over them. You could invite siblings or your spouse to pray over them too. And then, as you finish praying, dip your finger into the oil and draw a cross on their forehead, closing with the words, "We pray all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen."
Let's take a few minutes to connect with God in today's spiritual practice. At the beginning of 1 Samuel, we meet David. He isn't the David who slays Goliath, or the great King David, or even the famous Psalmist David. At least not yet. When we first meet this David, he's just an ordinary shepherd. He spends his days herding sheep, cleaning out stables, and scaring off the odd wolf or bear. Yet God knows him, and he knows God, not in spite of his day-to-day work, but because of it. Whether he was doing the low-status job of tending sheep or leading God's people as king, David saw his work as part of God's work in the world. In her book, Liturgy of the Ordinary, Tish Harrison Warren says this about the relationship between God's mission and our everyday lives. "We learn the craft of holiness day by day in the living of a particular life. The Missio Dei is lived out as I hone the craft of motherhood in small moments when I'm weary and frazzled and kneel down on my kitchen floor to listen to a crying child. We are a part of God's big vision and mission, the redemption of all things through the earthy craft of living out our vocation, hour by hour, task by task. I want to do the big work of the kingdom, but I have to live it out in the small task before me, the Missio Dei and the daily grind. Today, we'll practice this entwining of work and prayer. This ancient practice, named in Latin, Ora et Labora, or pray and work, has been done in monastic communities for centuries. What work is in front of you today? Are you on your way to or from grocery shopping or school pickups? Do you have dishes to do or laundry to fold? Do you have emails to reply to or meals to cook? Whatever tasks you have in front of you now or ahead of you today, I invite you to pray as you work. For example, if you're doing laundry or washing vegetables, you can thank God for his cleansing and purifying work in your life. Or if you're sending emails, ask God to send you out into the world to be his hands and feet. If you're grocery shopping, praise God for his provision of food and offer thanks for the good work of those who grew and harvested it. I'll end our time today by sending you out with a prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. Heavenly Father, send us out into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Wholehearted Households Podcast, a production of InterVarsity Press. We pray that you and your family have been blessed by this episode as you seek to follow Jesus with your whole heart. Please check out our show notes to learn more about the books, resources, and authors referenced in today's episode. This podcast was made possible by the generous support of the Lilly Endowment. If you appreciated the resources in this episode, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or on your favorite podcast player. This show was written and produced by Karen Savella Stallard, Caitlin Borick, Abby Lee, and Travis Alberton, and narrated by Caitlin Borick, Jack Reese, and Karen Savella Stallard. And I'm your host, Helen Lee. Join us next week for another episode of the Wholehearted Household Podcast. Parents today have a daunting task, helping their kids to love and follow Jesus in a world that pushes many competing narratives to do the opposite. In the Teach Your Children Well podcast, host Sarah Cowan Johnson reveals two approaches that Christian parents can choose from to teach their kids, one informed by the world's culture and one informed by the biblical story. Through enriching and engaging conversations, Sarah and her guests explore what each approach has to say about a range of topics, such as technology, anxiety, sexuality, and much more. And you'll discover how the biblical story offers wisdom and good news for the 21st century parent. Listen or watch today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.